The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and He is in this very place. Come, let us worship the Lord God Almighty. God is good,
all the time. God is good.
And we give thanks to this good and wonderful God for 66 years of ministry and influence in the community for the kingdom of God. We welcome you to this homecoming Sunday. Many of you, it's family, it's friends. Some of you are first-time visitors, but we encourage all of you, if you are new to us, to take the time to fill out a visitor card. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you. And you can simply place that in the offering plate today. As we celebrate and worship, we are remembering. Many of you come with lots of stories in your mind and have already shared some of those. We will hear testimonies later on in the service about the experiences and ministry of this church, as well as opportunities to look ahead, to look to the future. And what I wanted to do to start the service off is something a little bit different, which by now you figured out. Sometimes he does that, and you'll get used to it. But what I want to do is play Oprah with you for a moment and take the microphone and just simply allow you to share your favorite memory. If anybody is open and willing to just share something that's happened in the life of this church, it doesn't have to be serious, but something that is just a fond remembrance for you. Maybe it's a stew or a particular harvest festival or a homecoming adventure from past years or something that you experienced at Christmas or a revival or even going back to the beginning of the church, things that you've heard your parents and grandparents share. So I just ask if you would raise your hand, give a little wave, and I'll bring my Oprah microphone to you. Anybody?
I think my favorite memory, or one of my favorite memories, is the bazaar that our church had back in the 80s. I'm not sure exactly what year. But just about every single person in this church either made something or helped to bring that bazaar off in a great way. It wasn't so much what money that was made, but it was the fellowship that we had in coming together.
Graham First Baptist was my home church, and ours was wanting to get closer. The kids was getting ready for school, and she was wanting back in the choir. But I couldn't leave Graham. But I finally talked to the preacher at Graham, Ralph Jones, and the first Sunday we visited here, I knew this is where I needed to be. And it's been 40-some years now, and never had any regrets.
Thank you, Iris. Anyone else?
The most important night in my life was the night I was saved at First Baptist Church. We were over in the little cement block building. The people that were members of the church had helped to build that little church. And I remember that I had been, the Holy Spirit had been working with me for a long time. But I wouldn't yield. That night I yielded. We had a visiting pastor, and it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And since that time, the Lord's always been with me through everything in my life.
Anybody else? I see that hand. I'm going to reach right over your shoulder.
I was saved when we were in the little brick building, too. And my childhood memories from here is just unreal because I've been here 47 years.
Who else? Oh, now I have to get my exercise.
One of my favorite memories is a funny memory. It's not as serious as some of the others have been. But when Norman Harris was here, he was preaching one Sunday, and suddenly we began to hear a little pecking sound. And it continued and got louder and louder. And so Dale and I were sitting over on the end of the pew, and we looked up, and the skylights, there were crows up there, and they were seeing the reflection from the lights, and they were pecking. So Dale and someone else, I can't remember who, Tony Coble, went outside and chased the crows away. And for the next three or four Sundays, that was their job, because the crows came back every Sunday. We told them they could come in and listen to the service, but they never volunteered. But that's just a funny memory.
Anybody else?
One of my favorite memories was watch night service we had when the year rolled from 1999 to 2000 at midnight. I don't know how many, a large group was holding hands around the sanctuary in prayer.
Two things. A number of years ago, Margaret had the choir to put together a tape of various and sundry hymns and pieces that we've done, and some of you probably still have that. The other is that several years ago, six of us went up to Henderson, North Carolina. This is part of the outreach ministry of the church. And we went up with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and there were quite a number of people there in Henderson. We met at the church up there, and we divided into teams. And I suppose there were probably maybe 200 or more people from all over North Carolina in different congregations. Well, our group went to, it was an old, old, old building that had been used as a hospital years ago in Henderson. And our job was to mud the walls, put the tape on, and mud the walls where sheetrock had been nailed up because they were converting this old hospital into a battered women's shelter. You've never seen more muddy people in your life as we were mudding those walls. But when we left, there was a lot of mud on the walls. That building today is being used as a battered women's shelter, and that was part of the outreach of this church.
Laughter and tears, memories of ministry and missions, of events that brought us together. This is my favorite homecoming memory. It's my first and only one. But it's an important one to think about all of the history in this place. And your lives are reflections of those who've gone before us. But they're also a glimpse of what's coming ahead. And that's what our service is focusing on today. Life between Alpha and Omega. Life between the beginning and the end. And that we find our story, not simply in the story here at First Baptist Church, but in the story of God's kingdom. Let's pray together once more. Lord God, thank you for the memories, for the joyful celebrations, for the touching reflections, and for all that is to come. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, Dreama. Did you bring a few things this morning?
Well, you know, this is my essentials. I usually carry this around the house. It's how you keep slim, you know.
Dreama is decked out this morning to help us show you our team. This ministry is called... This ministry is called Small Jobs. And we are here to offer help to our community, to our church members, anyone that needs help with just about everything. There is no job that's too small. House cleaning, changing a light bulb, climbing a ladder.
Oh, didn't I put that on there?
Didn't I see her in the hallway dressed up as a pirate earlier? But seriously, Dream and I have done several things as projects together. We've painted, we've done all kinds of stuff. We have. It's fun. It's fun. We are looking for members to join our team, and the more the merrier. My husband has already been drafted because he builds everything. We need people that can do electrical work. We need people that can do plumbing. We need people that can paint. We need people that could just rake leaves or sweep or do household organizing. Any of those items. The beauty of these teams is you join the team that you're passionate about and you feel like you can help the most at, and we're not going to meet every week. We're not going to work you to death.
You're not.
We're going to call you when we need something done, and if you can do it, then you come out and help us, and we work as a team together and get the job done. I can honestly say when I went to Alabama with the youth, working on a hot roof in 100 degrees is not a whole lot of fun unless you're with a group of people that are working together to benefit the folks that we were doing this for. So this team could be made up of anybody.
So you mean they don't have to work all the time? It's kind of like a on-call as needed thing?
Pretty much.
I mean, I was thinking I was going to get somebody all the time, and we had to pay them and take out the W-2s and, you know, sign, and they sign their life and their children and their firstborn and their...
No. And if there's a job that we can't do, for example, I was not allowed to bring my chainsaw this morning.
I wanted to bring the chainsaw.
If we can't do it, we will help you find someone that actually can do the work for you. So please sign up. I believe the sign-up list will be up in the fellowship hall today. You can sign up for multiple teams if you'd like to. I promise we won't work you to death. We're just out to help people and have a lot of fun doing it. Thank you.
Hear the word of God from Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, the Alpha and Omega, to you, O God, we lift up our souls. To you we offer our praise and our prayer, our worship and our thanksgiving, even our very lives. Make your ways known to us. Show us the path on which we should walk and lead us in your truth and teach us. For you alone are the God who saves, the God in whom we trust, and the one on whom we wait. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
glory forever. Amen. Good morning. The wise man in Proverbs once said, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." And also in the 29th chapter of Proverbs, verse 19, it says, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor." That's why I'm up here doing the history of the church. The number one comment from new members of the church that I've heard all the years that I've been a member here was that people, they said that people were so warm and friendly, they make you feel at home right away. And I said, what an attribute to be paying to a church, your friendly church. And that's something I've always heard. Our church began as a mission sponsored by Brickwood Baptist Church in Burlington, started with 47 charter members, and become Elon Baptist Church on August 8, 1948. And we moved into more facilities on the corner of Tollinger and Holt Avenue in 1950. And in 1954, the church voted to change its name to the First Baptist Church of Elon. And if you want to know the reason, we were the First Baptist Church in Elon. So we took that on the name. From a study in 1990, our church saw the need for a full-time youth minister. And at the time, Stan Bone was called to be our youth minister at that time. before Stan or four of the church voted to have a church youth minister, the parents did that. And one of the things that stood out so much in my mind is one summer we went to Washington, D.C. with the youth and got on the President Nixon's yacht. He was president at the time, and took a cruise down the Potomac. And I thought that was a highlight at the time for the youth. And we did a lot of things, and David's very familiar with all this too. But we did a lot of missionary work. We went to the beach and different places like doing now. But everything was so good, and the parents, we really enjoyed doing it at that time. And then in August 1991, our church sponsored 8 members on a mission trip to Brazil. And a couple of us, Sister Janie Brown was one, and myself, and some of the others, Bobby and Ann Gray, and April, she wasn't Riley then, but we all went on a mission trip then. We have had lay renewals weekends, meet your deacon nights. We had a mission trip to Romania. Shirley went to that. We built a storage facility up on the hill that was built. Had loving action in our community where the church went out to different places wherever there was a need. We went out and did that, loving action. Imagine a lot of you remember that. And matter of fact, we had about 200 members participating in it. I'm going to say a little bit about the music this morning. Your music has always been a vital part of who we are, leading our weekly worship services, specials, and so forth. Our youth faithfully share in that. In groups, they have the Enjoy, and the children have blessed us with the musicals, the handbell choir we've got. We have the women's ensemble. And we had a men's quartet one time, Master's Men. And we sang, and we had a lot of people go out to different nurses' homes and things like that. And our gifted accompanists, we had a lot of good gifted accompanists playing organ, piano. In July of 1981, Margaret Miller was called to be Minister of Music, and our present sanctuary here we're in now was built in 1981, and dedication services were held in May 1982. Now, is my 3 minutes up, David?
Getting close, John, getting close.
Okay. I just want to thank you. If you want to look on the back of your bulletin, at the bottom of it, it says the minister ministers all the people. And I was just thinking about, you know, that just saying that not only just for Mason and Laura who else am I missing? David, yeah. Not all the staff, that we all here in First Baptist Church as a family. And what we accomplish is be up to us, that we work, be united, and make this church be the church that God would have it to be. Thank you very much.
Carolyn Barnett was one of the charter members.
Yeah, okay.
Her mom was carrying her when that
showed. Okay. I just wondered on I was going to do this.
I was
there.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy. The words will be on the screen, also in your hymnal number 2.
Holy, 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 holy
this morning and this week, our prayer revolution focus is the next 66 years. John gave a brief history just a few minutes ago, but there was a vision for men and women in Elon to come together to form a congregation, a Baptist congregation. In 1948, this group of men and women came together with a vision given by God. And that vision has guided us through the past 66 years. And it is our job here and now this day to reclaim that vision, to keep moving forward, to following where God is leading us. We say that as we gather here at First Baptist Elon, we are a family. And we truly believe that. Whenever we step foot in these walls, we are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ with a call by God and a focus on what He is going to do for us, through us, and with us as we seek to make an impact in this community. And we need to recognize our family. Like any good family reunion, you got to have food and you got to know who's here. And so this morning, as a part of our prayer revolution focus, I want to recognize those family members that are here. So at this time, if you are one of those original men or women, teenagers or children to be, there at the beginning of our congregation, we'll ask you to please stand at this time. Now y'all stay standing. We're not done, because as any good family reunion, we got lots of cousins and brothers and sisters we need to recognize too. Through the years, God has sent men and women, teenagers and children to this place to serve and minister. And so now I want to ask that if you came to First Baptist Church of Elon for your first time, not necessarily joining as a member, but you stepped foot in these walls or the walls of First Baptist Elon at that time in the 1950s, I want you to stand up at this time. Anybody from the 1950s? See, we got family members starting to be recognized. But this is not the end, because God continued to work in the 50s, and then He moved to the 60s. So if you came to First Baptist Elon in the 1960s, please stand at this time. More families are getting, members are getting recognized. 1970s, please stand. Nineteen nineties, please stand. 2000s, please stand. 2010s or up to this point today, if you're in this place, please stand. You see, God has a way of moving in this place, and He's not done. Let's pray for the next 66 years as we seek to open our doors to anyone and to everyone and to serving and honoring God. Let us pray. Father God, I am thankful for my family members. I am thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ who came before me, who are here with me, and who will come in the future. I lift up the vision and the purpose of this congregation here, First Baptist Church of Elon, guided by you, envisioned by your people, by your servants, and still pushing forward, continuing to make a statement of who you are and what you've done, not just within these walls, but in the community of Elon. Father God, I lift up this congregation in the next 66 years and all the amazing ways that you are going to use this congregation. We can't begin to grasp what's going to happen, but we're excited and we anticipate it. And we know that you are here, and we know that you will be with us every step of the way. Father, I am thankful for this family of believers that continues to unite in your name every week in this place. And we place it in your hands. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. If you would remain standing and join me in your responsive reading that is printed in your bulletin, it'll also be on the wall behind you. Lord, how strange it is that you should call us to be your church. Yet you have always worked through women and men in the working out of your purpose.
Through prophets and disciples, leaders and followers, preachers and listeners, you have called your people. that your redeeming love might work through him.
Above all, in Jesus your word has become flesh, and a human being has lived your will.
He has died for us, and you have raised him for us, that he might be our foundation and our head.
Fill us with his love, that we might truly be his disciples.
We dedicate ourselves now to being your people. Accept our worship and our prayers, our intentions and our gifts.
All has come from you, and now, as we pray, your Spirit prompts us and empowers us. Grant us your grace that we might be faithful to our calling as your church.
Deepen our faith, strengthen our love, and increase our hope.
That we might be an offering acceptable to you and available for your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Remain standing as we sing our offertory hymn, 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship your holy name. You're rich in love, slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul. Worship your holy is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy
our blessings to future works, all the different programs we have to glorify Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi. So it's homecoming. We all know what that means, right? Good food. We all know that today's the day we reflect on history of the church and worship God with each other and with friends that may have grown up here and moved away or for whatever reason aren't here with us, and they're here with us today. And there's a lot to reflect on. This church has been around for 66 years. That's a while. We've gone through some pretty big changes in the past couple of years. And we're a lot different. That's not a bad thing. I mean, I still love it. So today isn't just reflecting on the past, but it's also about the future. And I think there's a lot to look forward for everyone here at the church. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 19, it says, "See, I am doing new things. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So as we look at the past, let's also look at the future. I think the future can be very bright for this church. I've seen a lot of good friends, you know, graduate, and they're each hungry for God and wanting to serve Him in some way. And there's a lot of younger youth coming up now, and each wanting to serve God whenever they can and however they can. So when writing this, I just kept thinking about a song that we like to sing in youth, and we sang it a few times here in service. It's called God of the City. Chris Tomlin sang it. And the words are, "For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here." And I think that's what we should be thinking about today as we worship together. And that God has used us to serve him for 66 years, and he wants to continue to use us to serve him even more. And I hope that in this new chapter of First Baptist Church at Elon, we will continue to serve him and do works for God through God.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm bound in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your give and take away. it be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the
Now, of course, I know what you're all thinking. How long is this guy going to talk? Because after all, there's food that needs to be eaten, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's the loudest amen I've heard yet. Today, as we gather, I'm thinking about the power of homecoming. And it is important, that meal. It's not just something we joke about. It's a reality. The fellowship around the table, just the fondness of the smells and the taste and good company. When I was in college at Campbell University, me and my good friend Mike Tarnowski used to, around this time every year, ride up and down throughout Harnett County. And any church that had a billboard out front that said, "Homecoming this Sunday," we were there, brother. We were there. Oh, we must have been somebody's cousin or something, but we were there and we were loved. So I know what it feels like to be hungry on a homecoming. But we have something to think about today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray now that you would put a thought in our mind, a righteous thought from above, and that thought would take root in our lives and grow, flower, and produce good fruit. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This service began at the beginning, in the book of Genesis, with the creation of the world. And now at the end of the service, we hear the final verses of the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 and 21, the one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. So our scripture today is nothing less than Genesis 1 and Revelation 22, 21, and everything in between. This is the story of the Bible. This is the story of creation and the ending of the world. It's the story of Alpha to Omega. And it's not simply a story contained in this book, but it's a story that's still being written. And yet, it's completely known. It's your story. It's our story. It's the story of First Baptist Church, but it's much bigger than that. It's not just about 66 years past and 66 years to come, but about the very ending of the world and the coming of the kingdom of God. And as we gather today, we are all players in this story, every one of us. Some people in the world are villains in the story. Some of you are the heroes of the story, but the worst thing in the world that we could be are the silent extras. Those ones you see on camera pretending to have conversations in the background while the main characters are on display. It's a story that has moments that seem dark, and moments that seem so full of light we can barely see. Several Sundays ago, in our adult Bible study, we talked about this story and how there is this epic pattern that recurs throughout. We look at the world and God created it and God said it was good. But then we know sin crept in. And a bad choice was made, and there were consequences. No longer could they live in the Garden of Eden, they must go. No longer could they have access to the Tree of Life, but death was now in the world. But God did not give up on his precious children. The Bible says that Adam and Eve made clothes out of fig leaves. The fig leaf in the desert lasts just hours. It is a poor cover for their sin. But the story tells us that God simply did not judge and condemn and leave them to die, but he made clothing for them. I have this image of God with the thimble on his finger and the thread through the needle sewing something that would last and giving them a new day, a new start. He did not say, forget you, but let's pick up the pieces from where we are and let's move forward. We see that same pattern in the world of Noah. That a fresh start had been made and again things were good, but it did not take long before God would look at the world and say, I regret ever making this. And there were consequences, a great flood. But there was grace in the family of Noah and the saving of a remnant of creation. And God said, let us pick up the pieces and move forward and begin again. You see that pattern throughout the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament, of things being good, going wrong, but God, though there were consequences, God picks up the pieces of our lives and puts things back together and says, now let's move forward again. Maybe you've seen that pattern in your own life as well. That's the story of the Bible, the story that we are in right now. But the good thing about our story is we know that there is a final completion to the cycle. That there is a grand conclusion to this epic story that's being told in our lives. And that First Baptist Church at 66 years is a chapter in that great story that began in the beginning and will end at the coming of the kingdom of God at the end of the age. That's how big this moment is for you and for us. That's how big this life is at First Baptist Church. It's not just a little church in a little corner of the world. It is a part of that great Alpha to Omega story that is being worked out right now. And this image of the kingdom of God that we hear here, where it says Jehovah's coming back, that the master will return to the house. This is not something we are called to just sit back and wait for casually. We don't simply wait for pie in the sky by and by as we die. But what is it that we prayed at the beginning of the service? Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And so we find that in this story, we are not just characters, but we are part of the authorship of the story. We are called to build the kingdom of God. Those sainted souls who first set foot in the First Baptist Church of Elon, who had that vision, who had that dream placed in their minds by God, they were writing the chapter. They were working to build the kingdom. It was not for just a frivolous impulse that they came together, but to see that the kingdom of God would come. We are called to stack the kingdom up brick by brick by brick, to lay the roads and pave the paths. And that everything that we see in our world is either building the kingdom or working against the kingdom. Think about that image in the book of Revelation. We are told a glimpse or given just a brief picture of the kingdom of God. And the writer tells us that it is beautiful and powerful. He says that there was a multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, robed in white. That's a glimpse of how things will be. But was not the church working to build that very thing at the day of Pentecost? When it said that all people were gathered from every nation, tribe, and tongue? That was a little echo of the kingdom of God, a little echo of our final destination there at Pentecost. It says, with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." The triumphal entry of Christ when he entered Jerusalem, did they not wave palm branches and shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name"? Was that not an echo of this very moment at the end of the age? Were they not somehow pointing and working towards the kingdom of God? And it tells us that they fell on their faces singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then listen to this part, Revelation 7:15. "For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more, nor shall they thirst any longer. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Every time one of us goes and weeps with a grieving member of this church, we are offering a brief glimpse of the kingdom of God. Every time a Sunday school class brings a casserole to someone who is sick, we see an echo of the kingdom, an echo of our final home and destination. Every time two brothers in Christ finally bury the hatchet, forgive one another and say, "Look, let's put this behind us. Let's make peace." We see an echo of home. Every time one of those mission trips is taken, every time a youth accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, every time someone offers a smile to one who is hurting, every time we offer a prayer for our world, every time we go and share the gospel with the lost, we see and we hear an echo of the kingdom of God. It is life between Alpha and Omega that we are living here, between the beginning and the end. And every word we say and don't say counts for the kingdom. As if all of the angels of heaven lean over the threshold, watching your life and my life, saying, "Are they going to get it right? Are they going to build the kingdom? Are they going to work this prayer that they pray, 'The kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven'?" And as we said at the beginning, the worst thing we could be is silent extras in this epic and everlasting story. Who are you today on this homecoming Sunday? Who are you? A villain? A hero of the story? My prayer is just this, thinking of Daniel's glimpse of the apocalypse. I pray that each one of us in the coming years in the life of this church would be the stars shining in the darkness, giving light to a world in need of hope. Would you pray with me? Oh God, from in the beginning to amen, we pray that we would be the workers of your will and the builders of your kingdom. Lord, give us yielding spirits. Give us willing hearts. Give us feet ready to go and hands ready to serve. Give us minds that are focused on you, so that in all that we do, in all that we say, it would be the work of the gospel and an echo of your home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together as we sing our hymn of response, Amazing Grace, number 330. close the service, I want to invite you to stay standing after the blessing and benediction for our choral response. We will have a blessing for the meal and invite you to follow the crowd. There are many people who know the way, so follow them as you go out the hallway and up the stairs into the fellowship hall for our time of fellowship and meal together. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for those who work to prepare it, for those who work to set up tables and chairs and decorations. Thank you, Lord, for those who will work hard to clean up, to put away, to sweep, and to wipe down. And thank you, Lord, for the fellowship around those blessed tables. They are sacred by the Holy Spirit living in us, dwelling in this place. And now, may the Master of the Kingdom bless you this week. May he fill you with grace. May he motivate and inspire your heart and mind to action, to pile up the bricks and to lay the gravel for the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.